Chapter 2, the first three verses this morning. A great, great chapter in the Word. I started working at 11 years old. I went to work at a mini bike track, 50 cents an hour. I've worked a lot of unskilled labor jobs. I was a counter person at McDonald's for a while, sandwiched in between impatient customers and stressed out managers. I've been a janitor, a breakfast cook, a painter's assistant, packer in an old tool factory, landscaper, clerk in a department store. None of those were career choices. They were jobs that were available when I needed a job. And usually I was the low man on the totem pole and just did whatever nobody else wanted to do. Been there? Still there? I like what I'm doing now, for the most part. It's respectable work, for the most part. It's clean and it has a surprising variety of tasks to it that keep one intrigued and interested. And there's an element to pastoring I don't know that I can explain. Like yesterday we had a funeral. And I can only guess that it's the love of Christ. You feel the love of Christ for people when they are in pain, when they're going through a difficult time, when you're ministering to a crowd. Tammy told me, texted me after the service. She said, most of the people that were at the funeral yesterday don't go to church at all. But boy, you could feel the Spirit of God in this place yesterday as we were ministering. And what a joy to stand in that place and to minister to folk and to feel the heart of God. It was kind of a rough crowd. And you might think that, oh, well, you know, this is church and they haven't been to church and whatever else. You feel the love and compassion of Christ reaching out. And your prayer is, Lord, may they get a taste of you. May they just get a taste of you, and may it change everything. May they understand this gospel that we're trying to preach. But nevertheless, what my point is, you know, you work different jobs and you get treated differently wherever you go to work. Some of you have known that experience that, boy, you're glad you changed your job. And some know, oh, boy, I wish I'd stayed where I was and all this. Depending on the hat you wear means a lot as to how you are treated in what you're doing. Yesterday morning before the funeral, I got a kick out of it. The wind had blown all kind of debris onto the front mat. The wind was blowing so hard, you might remember yesterday morning, and it just seemed to collect a bunch of stuff right on that mat. So I've got a broom and I'm sweeping, and the lady comes with some flowers for the funeral. I'm the only guy here. I got the broom in my hand, you know, and she's asking me stuff, and you know, I look like the janitor, I suppose, and I'm helping out with different things, and it's just the hat that you, same person, but different treatment. When it comes to spiritual things, there's only two hats to wear. Death or life. You're either dead or you're alive. And if you're on the losing team, if you're in hell's union, the future of that is the lake of fire. And chances are you know that. Even if you're out there in complete rebellion and you're doing what you want to do, every once in a while you feel that hot hell air just breathe up the back of your neck, and it almost gives you a shiver, and you wonder about the future and all that's going on. You're really sure that you're doing what's right to do, but then you're not so sure. And there's a price to pay for that. But if you've come to Christ, you've been adopted into the family of God. And here and now might be hard sometimes, and it might get frustrating and dry. Oh, but you've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. We're going to be there very, very soon. You've been washed, forgiven, empowered to live a worthwhile life. We're going to be talking about those differences today. Ephesians chapter 2, the first three verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Father, may it be renewed in every one of us the tremendous blessing that has been broken upon us through salvation. And may we gain that heart of compassion for all the dead ones around us. May we make it our mission in life to bring life to others, to wake them up, to share this gift of life with them. And we'll thank you for this help here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Spiritually speaking, we were born dead. Dead in our transgressions and our sins. As Ray and I shared this last week, he said he's been studying this passage of Scripture, and he said the Greek construction actually makes it existing dead. We existed dead. The living dead. Zombies, if you will. Spiritual zombies. Dry, dead, miserable. Dead in our transgressions and our sins. Transgressions are those violations against the law. I'm sorry, but you can't do that. That's wrong. Sins are when we miss the mark. And so there are all those violations that we've done. You were in trouble and adding daily to your criminal record. Well, what goes on my criminal record? Well, words spoken out of anger or pride. Thoughts that are destructive rather than spiritually healthy. So actions that we do, that just wasn't right. Well, it's okay because nobody was coming or what have you. All those things are being added up. And then add to all of that the many times when you were trying to do something good and you missed the mark. You messed it up anyway. Anybody here ever say, why do I even try? You ever use that old saying, no good deed goes unpunished? We're trying, but we're missing the mark. All this stuff adds up, and it's on our record. Paul further describes our natural state as following the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Why did you do that? Well, everybody else was, and I didn't want to, you know. We are going alongers. We are given to peer pressure. And even when it's stupid, even when it's wicked, we can get caught up in some really dumb stuff. Ladies, you're probably much better at this than us guys are. Now, I won't ask for a raising of hands, but how many of us guys, we really shouldn't be here right now because of at least one stupid stunt that we pulled during our lifetime. We say, only by the grace of God was I able to take communion. Why? Well, you know, it just, at the time, it seemed like a good idea. Yeah. Well, that spirit, the ruler of this kingdom, this air, of course, that's Satan. Please try to keep in mind that the one who's orchestrating a lot of what's going on right now is the enemy. It's the devil. And so going along with the way society is going, doing what everybody else is doing, please understand who's in charge of that. Please understand who's orchestrating that. And what his end game is to kill you. And to make sure that you're separated from God for all of eternity. So be aware of that. When you hear the news, then you, oh, I know where that's going. How could they think that way? You know, there's your answer. The one who's in charge of the air right now, the one who's orchestrating a lot of this is the devil himself. The spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. Now, this second line, the spirit, I know it talks about the ruler in the line, and some translations say the spirit, but this spirit is a little different than that spirit. That spirit is the devil. This spirit is just kind of the spirit everybody gets caught up in. So it's the genre of the day. It's the way things are. And we, if we're not careful, can get caught up in the spirit of the world and carried along into things that we are not wanting to be caught up in. It's not the direction we're wanting to go. And if I can say, put in a plug here for church, that's why church is so important. To step out of the stream of the world and at least for an hour or two be in a place where our minds can get recalibrated to the things of God. We naturally start thinking like the world when we're in the world all the time. We hear this stuff, we see where it's all going, and we get caught up in the drama of the world. And it's good to pull over every once in a while and just sit in the Word of God and hear what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing and feel conviction over the dirt that's been collected on our own soul and say, ah, Lord, yeah, you're right. I felt so justified hating them and being mad at them. And, you know, what else should I have done over here? And, well, yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to make things right with the family or the coworkers or whatever else. There is this vortex that is sucking us in. And we need to get out of that. And we need the strength of God. We need to be cleansed all over again. And that's what church affords us, is that opportunity to get reconstructed in the spirit. Get out of the zombie world and back into life as Christ means it to be. Our sinful nature is a follower of disobedience. We like sinful stuff. Even after we've been born again, there's a part of our flesh that can get attracted to the stuff that we've been delivered from all over again if we're not careful. You don't want to go back there anymore. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Catch those words, cravings. You ever have a craving? Now the ladies can relate to this one maybe a little bit more. Understand when you know you're pregnant, you're expecting, you get these cravings that you never had before. I heard the testimony of one young lady. Her mother's favorite dressing on salads was blue cheese, and she could never stand blue cheese. But when she got pregnant, she just had to have blue cheese dressing on her salad. And ever since then, after she was done being pregnant, she couldn't stand blue cheese again. But her daughter loves blue cheese dressing on everything. It's just funny how that kind of went along. I remember when my wife was expecting, she couldn't stand the sight of anything with tomatoes. No pizza, no tomato sauce, no spaghetti. Just, and she loves it again. But and that's a non-craving, I guess you'd say. But have you ever craved something? Maybe you walk past a bakery and you've been doing pretty good on your diet. Right? That. Oh, that smell. What is that? Cinnamon buns. Oh. I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to look. Oh, they got the icing on the top of those cinnamon buns. Maybe if I just licked one, that would be all right. Ever get a craving? I hate to tell you this, but your sinful nature craves the bad stuff in the world. And before you know it, it gets you sucked in and it's just bad. But when we were dead, we had no willpower. We had no defense to all that offense of the enemy. We just we condemned everybody else for what they did, and we found ourselves doing it too. And there we were, just all sucked in. So that Paul says we were by nature objects of wrath. We just stunk the whole way through. There was nothing in us at all that was redeemable. It just was bleh. We were sinful. We were going after sinful things. We acted like the devil ourselves. We went along right with everybody else. And even though our minds agreed that that was wrong, every once in a while there we were doing it all over again. We were by nature objects of wrath. We were targets. We deserved God's wrath. We incited God's anger. When he saw us, my dad had this way of just dropping his head whenever I had missed the mark. He didn't beat me. I hated that. He'd drop his head. I'd drop my head. And, just objects of wrath. You missed it. You blew it. You feel worthless. You feel terrible. You know, I was surprised to learn it's illegal to kill a rattlesnake or a copperhead. You're not allowed to harm them. They're protected. I'm not aware of any laws that make it illegal for a snake to bite you. But you're not allowed to hurt. Where I grew up, we grew up near a creek, and we've had a lot of encounters with snakes. And in my neighborhood, anyway, in our home, a snake was an object of wrath. You saw a snake, you poured out wrath. That's what you did. Snake, dead snake. That's how it worked around where we were. If it was in your yard, it slithered into your domain. Wrong. You don't live here anymore. And especially if it gets in the house, in the basement or something like that. Well, we might use the, if we have people who love reptiles here, maybe I could, hornets and spiders. Objects of wrath. Stomp. SWAT! Mosquito! Dead mosquito. That's only good mosquitoes, a dead mosquito. And objects of wrath. That's how Paul describes us. We were objects of wrath. That's what we were good for. That's what we were. That's what we'd come to. No better than a mosquito. No better than a snake. Object of wrath. We didn't evoke warm and fuzzies from God. He didn't say, look at the spider. Oh, look, a mosquito, how nice. That wasn't the emotion in it all. Our misdeeds have consequences. Our transgressions accrue penalties. And our sins cry out for justice. If you've ever been wronged, you know that feeling. Who did this? They need to make this right. Came out of the hospital one time visiting Barb. She had had surgery, and somebody had pulled out and gotten the front fender of my van, put a nice crease in it. I guess the note they left must have been blown away by the wind. Who did this? Could have got it fixed for $1,000 deductible. How nice. There are consequences to what we do. And the way it works is, it's like we're driving around with expired sticker, expired license plate. We're pouring out enough toxic fumes to choke a cow. We've got blood on the front fender from a hit and run. And we're just trucking down the road. Nobody notices. Nobody sees. I'll never get in trouble for any of that. Everybody else is driving around in a heap, and it's all going to be just fine. In fact, you might think yourself pretty cool. Got the window rolled down, and, it's going fine. I have a friend whose daughter got pulled over by a police officer simply because her taillight was out, and he was going to let her know and give her a warning. But he happened to look her up on his screen as he pulled her over and found out she had missed a court date for a prior drug infraction. And so she just had a little taillight out, but she was put in handcuffs in the back of the car and went, got a free ride downtown. But it was just a ball. Well, that was. But when we pulled your sheet, we found out you've been a busy young lady. And you owe some fines, and you didn't show up for court. And, you know, just a moment before, she's just driving down the road as free as a bird, having a good time, going wherever she wants to go. All of a sudden, the long arm of the law reached in and pulled her out of that car and had her sitting in jail. And that's what it's going to be like on Judgment Day. Just living to please yourself, doing your own thing, going about however you want to go. But then they pull out the rap sheet. Boy, you look like a nice young person. Your mother-in-law is mentioned several times on this sheet here. And on it goes. June the 14th, you had 43 bad thoughts just on your way to work. And there's the rap sheet. Busted. Go to hell. Go directly to hell. Do not pass go. Do not get a halo. Just go. Wow. That's who we were. That's what we deserve. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, and I love this next line, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We could spend a month on verse 6 alone. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because of his, we were objects of wrath, snake, spider. That's who we were. But because of his great love for us, he looked past the rap sheet. He looked past all of the obvious. Because of his great, it reminds me of that other verse that we love so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he's got lots of it, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. God loves to take roadkill and make it into house pets. Pampered, loved, adored. When was the last time you were ever hiding down the road? Thump, thump, what was that? Oh, honey, pull over. We need to take that home with us. Oh, here's one that's been here for a while. Let's take that home. Do you have a box? Do you have a shovel with you? Let's get that home right away. Oh. You try to avoid the old dead skunk in the middle of the road, stinking to high heaven. Yeah, you don't know. Somehow, God is attracted to roadkill. Stuff that's been dead a while and stinking like crazy, he still sees good in us. You were the dead skunk in the middle of the road. Jesus picked you up, cleaned you up, and infused you with a brand new nature and a new essence. Our God visits orphanages. He visits nursing homes. He visits jails. I just heard the testimony on radio this week of a gentleman who was saying, man, I was so messed up. I was sitting in jail. He said, I got down on my knees and I cried out to God. He said, God, I can't do this. If I go back out there, I'm going to go back to the drugs. I'm going to go back to everything else. I am lost. I need you. And God met him in jail. changed his nature, changed his heart. He's now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's a brand new creature in Christ. He was roadkill. He was done. He knew it. But God, because of his great love for him, he's looking for lives that have been broken down, divorced, rejected, abused, bankrupt, sad, whatever your story is. He finds us at our worst, at the end of ourselves, where all our transgressions have come due, drowning in our sins, drowning in the fines we can't pay. He reaches down and he says, you know, I'll take that one. No, you meant him, right? Or her. You couldn't possibly have. Lord, I'm even done with me. How could you not be done with me? I'll take that one. God raises us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. It doesn't say God will raise us up. It says God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You have authority in heaven because of Jesus. Wait a second. I was just roadkill. You remember that? Yeah, well, now you have the run of the house. The veil has been torn, and you are welcome here. You now live here. One of the stories they told at the funeral yesterday was the gentleman who had passed, he and his wife have a dog by the name of Dreyfus. And now that there's no kids in the house, you know how us older people get all sappy with our pets? It's just so, I'm the same way, but they said they feed Dreyfus from the table with a fork. I'm not quite that bad with my dog, but yeah, you know. Well, wait a second. I was just roadkill yesterday. I just sit me at the kids' table. No. We've got a place right up here with Jesus. And now our struggle is we want to, you know, keep living like roadkill, but we need to start living like we have authority in heaven and we belong there. And God is infusing us with his righteousness and his energy. We go from working the counter at McDonald's to having a corner office in the corporate office, corporate headquarters. And every day we wake up in our mansion and they send a car for us to go to the corner office. And we pass that McDonald's we used to work at, and we smile and we wave at the manager as we go past. Hey, you old sadistic. I moved up. Yeah. You used to have me under your thumb. I'm your boss now. Have a good day. Just wanted to remind you of that, you know. We've been raised. We've gotten a promotion, not because of us, but because he saw something that he loves in us, and he raised us. God is rich in mercy. Whenever the enemy tries to come and say, well, he's not going to forgive you now. No, I say, shut up. God is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is a cancellation of your debts. It is a paying for whatever you have done. He is rich in mercy. But why in the world did he pick us? Why me? Why was I fortunate enough to hear the gospel? Why did I come across this in my life? Why did the Holy Spirit set on me so hard? In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Last week we saw the scripture that said, to the praise of his glory. Same concept here. You're a trophy that he's going to set in place. The more messed up you were, the greater a trophy you become. You made this out of that? Dude, that's amazing. Now, I don't know if he's going to have before and after photos in heaven. You know, kind of, this is where they were when I found them, and this is what I did with them. And all of heaven is going to gasp and ooh and ah at all the goings on. You ever go to a museum and you just kind of, you're walking really slow because you're trying to drink it in and trying to figure things out, and it's really neat what's going on. You ever take a tour of a factory and you try to figure out how all this stuff is made and try to follow it along? In heaven, God is so proud of what his mercy can do and what his power can do in raising us. It'll be so clear that God has been kind to us. I'm preaching too long. We have nothing to boast about on our own but Christ. But Christ. He finds his best trophies in ghettos, wealthy suburbs, orphanages, preachers' homes. He rescues people with nothing, and he rescues people with everything. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but everyone come to repent. You might say, well, maybe I wasn't skunky enough. Oh, trust me, you're skunky enough. Just ask another member of your family. You're bad enough. And God's willing that none should perish, but maybe I'm too skunky. There is no too skunky. Better trophy on the other side. Compared to the life God offers, the world's greatest palaces are shacks and its crowns are trash. What have you been looking for? What have you been living for? What are you going after? Oh, but if I come to Christ, I'll have to give up this and I'll have to give up that. That's one of the stupidest thoughts you could ever have. You don't lose when you come to Christ. You come to life when you come to Christ. And you start to really live. And his joy and his peace and his strength becomes yours. The song of the redeemed is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A couple others have been special to me in my life. A chorus we used to sing when I was a teenager. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You and I, we're going to be like Tide commercials in heaven. You know, where they have the kids crawl around in the mud and then they wash it in Tide and it's bright as can be. We're going to be Tide commercials in heaven. We're going to be grace commercials in heaven. This is what they, well, look what I did. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? And it's all because what Jesus did on that